Hey everybody, it's Kathy Kelly and I'm coming at you from Paranormal Tower in Asbury Park's historic downtown district. You are about to embark on yet another Paranormal Tales from the Tower. Hey guys, so you know, this week we're getting ready for Krampus, which starts on December 6th with our film festival. We actually have so many amazing entries this year that for the first time ever, we're not able to keep them in one night. So we're going to be doing a Friday night block of general entries, which are a little bit more serious stuff, more in the length of 15 to 20 minutes. And made by people who consider themselves to be professional filmmakers or people who are professional filmmakers. And that's going to be at the showroom starting at 7:30. It's $10 to get in. We also have, starting at 6:30, we have our Pictures with Yeti and Krampus, which are at Paranormal Tower. Those are 100% free. We do have a suggested donation of $5 to $10 per person, with 100% of the proceeds going to benefit the Walk to End Lupus. Lupus is one of those illnesses that gets short shrift when it comes to people kind of, you know, raising funds for it and becoming aware of it, because it just flies under the radar. And if you have people in your life who are, you know, who are affected by it, you realize just how devastating an illness it really is, and how brave a lot of the people who have it have to be, because it's not something that's always visible. And yet it can be completely debilitating and painful, and it can really be difficult for families to both get the care that they need and also the support that they need. And so 100% of the proceeds from Pictures with Yeti and Krampus, which is our 13th year, will be going to benefit the Walk to End Lupus, because let's face it, guys, we got to end it, okay? So thank you for listening to that little spiel that I have. Then on Saturday, it's supposed to be freezing cold. So there's a couple things on our schedule that are going to be weather dependent, that are a little bit hit or miss. But, you know, Krampuses don't take the day off. Krampuses don't call out sick. Krampuses don't, you know, they pull on their wellies and they get to work. And so starting at noon, we're going to have our Krampus market open. That will either be outside or inside, depending on the weather. And if it's inside, it's going to be a tight squeeze, but we're going to get y'all in, and we're going to get in some of the coolest vendors and coolest creative people around. And so I encourage you to come out for that as well. And then at 1 o'clock, we start our series of events. At 1 o'clock, we have, I believe it's a poster contest. 2 o'clock is the walking tour, which is the Monsters of Yule, which is a ton of fun. 3 o'clock, I think we're doing a gingerbread contest. We have five or six really great entries for that so far. Hopefully we'll get a bunch more. And then we have the reading of the naughty list, which is one of my favorite things to do and definitely one of the most popular things. So I encourage you, if you know people who are naughty, to put them on the list. You go to www.krampusap.com. That's KRAMPUSAP.com, because we're going to read their names, because the naughty must be exposed to the light, and that is what we do. We're going to read it off the top of Paranormal Tower for all the world to hear. That's the official naughty list. So make sure you get that done. And then we have Krampus caroling. We have our Krampus lineup. We have our march to Kennedy Park, where we race our Krampuses in a Lauf, the Krampus Lauf. And then we crown our Krampus 2019, and we come back for the Krampus tree lighting. And pretty much all of these things are free, guys. So it's just you coming out and hanging out with us and having a good time and showing a little bit of support for a little Krampus love, because we really need it this year. And then on December 8th, which is the Sunday, we have our second Krampus Breakfast with Krampus. And we have our second block of Krampus Film Festival films, and I have to tell you, they are crazy off the hook good. Those are the micro shorts and the film students. These films are really, really cool. We'll be showing them at Paranormal Tower. We'll be showing two blocks of them. It's $10 to get in. It's a great way to spend an afternoon, and it's a great way to support the arts. Plus, you get to hang out in Krampus's lair, because that's where I'm going to be showing them. And let me just tell you something about Breakfast with Krampus. It was so cool and so much fun. We did a dry run on Sunday. I had no idea what to expect. We had six people. It was a ton of fun. And it was, our Krampus is fantastic. It's like he gives a floor show. The first Mrs. Claus is there, of course, because, you know, she was naughty. She's now the first Mrs. Claus because Santa has moved on, but she's with Krampus these days. We have a couple of angry elves, and we have a couple of Krampuses in training, and you are in Krampus's lair, which of course is a little bit different than Santa's workshop. So I think there are one or two tickets still left for that. If you go to KrampusAP.com, definitely come and check it out. But aside from all of that, I wanted to just kind of talk about a couple of things that have been happening in the museum. Now, I realize that I talk a lot about the activity that we have in the museum. And one of the reasons is that it's still really startling to me. And we were doing I actually was doing a podcast. Somebody had come by and asked me to participate in their podcast. And they had come and said, hey, is it okay if we set it up at the museum and do it there? And I was like, sure, no problem. And what I love about it is I couldn't have set it up better. I don't need to point out events or point out sounds or point out activity that happens. It's very obvious when you are in the museum or when you are in the tower, when something a little bit outside the realm of normalcy happens. You can just feel it in your bones. You can hear it. You can hear the footsteps that just kind of step up right behind you. And it was really cool because it actually happened while we were doing the podcast. Now, the cool thing is the people who are interested, who were doing the podcast with us, just have a general interest in the paranormal, but they love all aspects of, I would say, fringe subject matter. And so I was able to kind of satisfy that on a couple of different levels, one being in a haunted building, and two, I do have a few artifacts related to various serial killers. And I'm not sure why there's a huge crossover between people who are interested in the supernatural or the paranormal and serial killers, but there does seem to be some kind of natural correlation. And I'm wondering if it isn't that... there's an unexplainable component to serial killers as well, you know, where there's this lack of understanding of just how someone can be a human being and yet be so inhumane, you know, that they can transcend, or well, transcend's not the right word. They can be so broken on the inside that they can do things that a normal human being and that's even the most giant swath or the biggest spectrum of what we would consider normalcy that would consider, because even horrible people can't do what a lot of serial killers do. And it occurred to me that, you know, in Asbury Park, we have this hierarchy of serial killers, you know, like, where there's a point at which you're like, you know, that person's a little bit too mundane for me, or where there are disappointing serial killers, and there are serial killers that are more exciting. And when you talk to people, they'll even say, oh, I like that guy, or you know who my favorite is. And they don't mean that they actually like them, and they don't mean that they favor them, but I guess what they mean is the people who they're most fascinated by. And the ones that they find the most fascinating are usually the ones that have the strangest, strongest, and most deviant compulsions. And yet the run-of-the-mill serial killers, the ones that just seem to kill because it's easy, are really the most terrifying because they're not hunting you. You don't represent anything to them. They're not choosing you because of your hair color or because something happened specifically in their childhood that you recognize or that you fit some strange or obscure, blueprint. You're not a puzzle piece in anything. You're just there at that moment. And there's something so casual about that. There's a serial killer from Asbury Park, and his name was Richard Buchenwald. And he was not the catch me if you can type. He was not, he was not Jack the Ripper. He was not somebody who was always one step ahead of the police, and he wasn't intriguing. He was gross. He was a guy that, life was neither good nor bad to him. Life was, I'm sure his life was very ugly. And I'm sure his circumstances were unpleasant. But he ended up killing people because they were available to him. And they were either in the way of something that he wanted, money or sex, or, but there was, his compulsion was to do the act to get something very, something he could easily have gotten in another way. And I'm belaboring this point because I'm thinking about what's scarier. You know, I have a letter from Son of Sam in my office, and I remember the Son of Sam. I remember the summer, when that was all going down, and I remember, these weird compulsions that they have to write and to try not to get caught, but to taunt and I have a letter from, or it's actually a poem from BTK. And BTK is interesting because he was just such a jackass. He got away with it. He got away with horrible, horrible acts, and he was so cruel and so interested in being known for being cruel. There was something about him that was preening, and then he got caught just the dopiest way. He got caught because he just didn't think time had moved on. He didn't understand technology. And so, he just thought, well, I'll take off my serial killer hat for 12 or 18 years and I'll raise these kids and I'll jump right back in the game and I'll do whatever I want, as if the world just stopped and that he didn't have to, it was going to be exactly the way it was for him in the past. And there's something so great about that being how he got caught with his stupid floppy disk or whatever he was doing. I think his was a case where he went back to his, he went back to the old, church basement, computer to send off an email, to taunt the police, and they just nailed him right away. And God, that was satisfying. And I just think it's, I'm laughing because it's just wonderful. That not only did he get caught, but he got caught because he was such a dick, and I don't mean to be cavalier about it, but come on, that's just great. And then you have these people that, you know, that are held up to be these iconic, you know, where they're like evil and where there's like a sexiness to evil, like Ramirez and Dahmer and, oh, they're so interesting. They're so twisted and they're so this and they're so that. And, I don't know. I don't know if they are. And I don't know how scary they are. Unless you meet them, you know, but these other killers, these killers that just kill because they don't have any compassion or empathy or human feelings. These people who, you know, they don't have these contrived stories. They're not hiding who they are. They're just lumbering through life. And because they don't care and because they're not trying to hide it, they're just lumbering through. They're not making up stories. They're not putting down roots. They're just moving, you know, town to town, state to state, and they don't stick out. And because of that, they're terrifying because you literally don't know when one's near you. They're not even faking it. And I can think of a couple of the ones from, like, Henry Lee Lucas, you know, I mean, he just went through life killing whatever annoyed him or whatever struck him as inconvenient. And he didn't do it in some, you know, criminal mastermind way. He did it in this, I'm just stronger than you and I will kill you because you're inconvenient. And I find those people a lot more terrifying. If not as interesting, they're a lot more terrifying. And you're a lot more likely to get killed by one of them, certainly if you're in Florida. I always quote the statistic that you're 40% more likely to get killed by a serial killer in Florida than any place else in the world. And it is a completely made up one. And yet I do kind of believe it. But I was thinking about all of this because I'm just thinking of all of the strange artifacts that I have in the museum and how a lot of times when something comes in, something changes or the energy kind of fluctuates, or I don't know what it is, but something happens. And it's not always the case of where I think it's like an artifact that has a haunting associated with it or a spirit associated with it. But we've had an unusual number of sightings in the last 3 or 4 weeks, last couple of months, that I've instituted a policy where our tour guides at the end of the shift, they write up any kind of unusual things that have happened. And we have always been really casual about that, letting people have their experiences and just kind of letting them be, but not really keeping track of them. But I kind of want to see now if there's any rhyme or reason to what is happening. Is there something that's going on with the weather? Is it happening at a certain time of the month or a certain time? Is it specific when men are around or is the, you know, does it happen when it's nighttime or has a new artifact come in and things are changing? And the reason that I'm doing that is because it's becoming more and more prevalent. This past week, 2 weeks ago, we've generally only do tours on Saturdays and Sundays. I would like to extend that. I'm in the process of figuring out how I can get docents who are available during the week. And because I do believe that there are more people who want to come to the museum and I don't want to limit people, but I simply cannot have a non-guided tour go through the museum because it's just not safe for the artifacts. And I wish that weren't the case, but my artifacts are absolutely priceless to me. I feel an incredible responsibility to them, and it would be remiss of me to allow them to be unprotected. It would be remiss in my protection of them, but also in kind of the, you know, the people who've donated them to me have put them in my care. And I have a responsibility to make sure that they are cared for. So, you know, I know a lot of people have stressed that they thought it would be that the museum should be self-guided. I'm sorry, guys, I just can't do it. I've lost too many things. And, You know, we certainly could sell more tickets, but I feel a responsibility and I don't think I can, you know, shirk it. So, but this past weekend or the last weekend, we actually had on two separate occasions, we actually had two people kind of lose. One person actually fell. She just kind of collapsed in an area. It was kind of a controlled collapse where she felt dizzy, she felt uncomfortable, and she just laid herself down in this one particular area. And a young man felt so dizzy that he had to sit in the same area. And when I went through, I did feel a spike in EMF and pulled over an EMF detector to see that we actually had, in fact, we were getting a huge spike in EMF. And on a separate occasion, these were two separate tours. And then on another third occasion, someone looked over in that same section and said that they saw a female there. They described a female unlike anyone else that has ever been described there. And I did get a couple of new artifacts in the last week, one that was related to a woman. And so I, you know, it is in isolation now, but I have to wonder if there isn't something to these new artifacts coming in. And so what we've decided to do is keep a logbook. And in the logbook, we will report whatever incidents that happen. And if anything comes up, I think at least once a month, I'm going to read them to you guys. And hopefully if you have attended the museum, or if you're having any experiences, or if you have any ideas about what might be causing these experiences or explanations, that you write to me and you'll let me know, because I would really love to get you guys involved in what's happening at the Paranormal Museum. We did get a couple of artifacts in. We got another doll in. The story is interesting. I'd like to do a little bit more research before I present it. We did get this weird Ouija board. It's a spirit board. It's called Bob's Board. And the story behind it is that there was a serial killer or a mass murderer or someone who I guess was just a killer in Ocean County, New Jersey. And he saw the error of his ways and decided that he was no longer going to be a killer. And he decided that he wanted to make atonement, make amends, apologize to his victims. And so he created a talking board or a spirit board, a Ouija board, if you will. And he called it Bob's Board. And he was going to use that to communicate directly with his victims to apologize. And the board became cursed. It became manufactured, and a portion of the proceeds of the board were supposed to go to the families of the victims. Now, I don't have to tell you guys, but that sounds like a load of horseshit. It sounds like just the worst... the worst marketing, or maybe the best, I don't know, the worst marketing ploy that there is. But this board came to us completely unopened. And but it came to us from someone who essentially said, I bought this and my girlfriend will not let me open it in the house. She's absolutely terrified. But it came from a place, I guess a place of fear. So I guess I have to ask, do you think that, well, I think the story is bullshit, and I think that Ouija boards are not inherently evil or inherently bad or even inherently effective. But do you think that the fear of someone, or the fear that someone has because of the story, do you think that that could in some way have created enough phenomena or enough energy on the device itself that it would linger enough to kind of cause disturbances in my place? I don't know if I believe that. I did get a couple of other things. I got what I guess you would call, what would you call it? It's a ritualistic, it's a ritualistic wood carving, with with an infant of Prague as its power source, not used for evil, not intended for evil, intended as a protective charm. But it came to me as well because somebody who had it was afraid of it. It came right around the same time. And I'm wondering if these two ritualistic things or these two things that have caused people to be afraid, maybe because they were delving in things that they didn't understand, maybe because, you know, they just had a lot of fears going on in their lives at the time. I'm wondering if those things don't sometimes leave some kind of residual energy, even when they're taken away from those people. And I wonder, I put them both in isolation, and I'm curious to see if being in isolation will in some way lessen the energy around them. Like, will it dissipate over time? I don't know. I do know that we have a lot of energy going into the place in the next couple of weeks, specifically this weekend, because we're going to have so many people traipsing through. We've got a lot of cameras going now, too. I think I have 8 cameras in the place. I think I'm going to at least pick one night where we light the cameras up and let people check in on what's going on in the museum while we do an investigation. If you are interested in participating in that, we'll do that as something that you can sign up for. Send me an email to info@paranormalbooksnj.com, and I will send you the link. We'll try to do that. I would imagine we will do that probably the first week of January, and that will be by invitation only. I don't have a whole lot more prepared for tonight. The next podcast that I'm going to do is actually going to be on patience worth. I'm really excited to delve into that because I think that's one of those cases in paranormal history and paranormal studies that has really stood up to the test of time. I don't think it's ever been fully debunked. I don't think it's ever been fully explained. And I don't think that there's an explanation that they can come up with that isn't interesting. I mean, even if you come up with a completely non-paranormal explanation for the patient's worst story, it's fascinating because it delves deeply into the complexities of the human psyche. And it also really kind of proves how powerful the human mind really is. So I hope you guys have a great week. I hope I see you at Krampus Asbury Park on December 6th, 7th, and 8th. Reach out to us on social media. We are The Paranormal Museum on Instagram. We are Paranormal New Jersey on Facebook, and we are Paranormal NJ on Twitter. You can also check us out on the web at www.paranormalbooksnj.com. And of course, you can add names to the naughty list on KrampusAP.com. All right, guys, I hope I hear from you. And if I don't, I hope you have a great week. Talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.